Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, good morning. So today we're going to tackle a difficult thing. We're going to talk about what to do when it's time to say goodbye. All throughout life, we say goodbye. And have you ever thought about this question? Why is it that we resist saying goodbye? Why is it that we resist saying goodbye? It seems like almost as if there's something inside of us that wishes that everything could last forever. But if you think about our lives, from the moment that we're born, we are saying goodbye. In fact, the whole birthing process, we're saying goodbye to a life of safety and comfort that we know, and we're coming out into this crazy place where someone spanks you and cuts this umbilical cord, and our source of life is gone, and everything in that moment changes. Doesn't it? And as kids, we live a certain way, and I'm going to give you the parents' perspective. As parents, we watch our kids, and we remember them as babies, don't we? And they're so cute. All the things that they do, the little facial expressions, the noise they make because they can't speak yet. They're so cute. And then they grow up a little bit older and they become toddlers. And they're cute in a different way. Like, you look back and you miss the baby time, but then you have this toddler time, and they're still cute. They're learning all these new things. They're a little mischievous sometimes, and they ask why a lot, and they get into a lot of things. But beyond that, they're really cute, and they get to ask, and you get to have this wonderful experience with toddlers, and then they move on, and they become preschoolers, and they're learning a whole bunch more and more and more, right? And as their life changes, they say goodbye to their time as a toddler and they move on. And you as a parent have to adjust the way that you treat them, the way that they act. And then they become elementary students, grade school students. And as they walk through this grade school time, they're learning all these new things. They begin to get smarter and smarter. And you look back and you remember, oh, I remember what you were like as a baby. And I remember what you were like as a... But as they're growing up, they're saying goodbye to all the different phases of life that they've gone through. And then they come up and they get a little bit older and they become a teenager. And as a parent, you look back and you miss the grade school years, and you wish that you could go back to that, and you remember and you look back and they're gaining independence and they're fighting for their new independence and saying goodbye to a lot of their childish ways and a lot of their childish things. They're changing the way that they think. Their parent is no longer their most primary influence, but now they're looking at all their friends and social influences and discovering things for themselves. And then they grow up a little bit older and they become kind of an adult. And as they become adult, you look back at their teenage years and just wish they could be a baby again, and you just wish that they could skip those teenagers. We don't ever want them to go back there, right? But those developmental years, as you're looking back as a parent, as we look at their lives, they've made all these transitions and said goodbye to so many different ways of thinking, so many different things. And as a parent, we are watching them thinking, I wish I could go back. In fact, one of the things that I've discovered even in myself, the older I get, I realize that generally I think of myself as if I'm still a 20-year-old. I don't know if you do this as well, but I've talked to a couple of people who are much older than me, and they say, you know what, I don't think that ever stops. That's why I've watched as some grandparents try to cut trees with chainsaws still when you're in your 80s. You shouldn't do that. That's not a good... But you just think of yourself as if you're still in your 20s, because we never make that transition. Our entire life, if you really think about it, you've had to say goodbye. Even into adulthood, if you had one job, you've probably not had that your entire life. Where you started, if you're lucky, you got rid of one job and got a better job, right? And you're glad that you didn't stay in that old job, but you've had to say goodbye to that old job. And sometimes you were forced to say goodbye to a job, and that was what got you to where you are today. when you were dating, there were some relationships that you had, and you said goodbye to some of those relationships until you found the perfect relationship. And you're the rest of your life, that's why you're happily ever after right now, is because you said goodbye to all those. Okay, we'll move on from that one. Well, but your entire life, you've had to say goodbye. In fact, this week, we're looking at our house, and we're getting ready for school, and I've got four kids, and we're getting them all ready for school and trying to see what's happening with it. So we had a transition week this week. One of my kids had to get rid of some of their stuffed animals. And if you've ever seen the movie Toy Story, you kind of see where this is going. As they're sitting there looking at all of their stuffed animals, trying to figure out which one do we want to get rid of, they would pick them up and look at them and say, I can't get rid of that stuffed animal. It's my favorite. In fact, one of my kids had a little heart stuffed animal. And they decided that they wanted to trade one of the other kids for one of their stuffed animals. So I was like, whatever, if you want to do that, go for it. They agree. So they agreed, and he traded this heart stuffed animal for this little turtle. And this was the middle of the day. At the end of the day, everything changed. And he was crying in his bed saying, I just want my heart back. I just want my heart back. And I said, why do you miss it so much? And he says, because I got it from McDonald's. And the stuffed animal that he got was a much better deal. He got a Beanie Boo, which is like, it's not a McDonald's toy. So he went back and asked again, and this other, the kid, one of the kids he traded with, doesn't care about it at all. She's like, whatever, here you go, have it. So he got his heart back, and it was okay. It was okay for that moment. Because we have little things sometimes that we just hold on to, and we keep them close, and we want them, and we just keep our stuffed animals. But how weird would it be? As adults, everywhere you went, you brought your blanket with you. Everywhere you walked, you had like Linus, right? You everywhere you go, you just have your security blanket with you. At one point in your life, hopefully before you got to high school, you decided to say goodbye to that thing, that stuffed animal, that blanket, whatever it was, that you held for security. And it opened up and it changed your life completely different after you said goodbye. And it was hard. It was difficult. But you walked through it. Another thing we did this week, we also, we have a crib. I had this crib for 6 years when my first kid was a baby. He was in there. And now all of my kids are finally old enough to be able to not have to sleep in a crib. So we began to take apart this crib, and we're giving it away. And I'm saying goodbye to this crib, and I'm looking at it as I'm taking it apart. I'm like, oh, there's the teeth marks that this one made. Oh, this is the thing that happened over here. Oh, I remember when this happened, this mattress. And as I'm looking at it, all these memories are coming back. And I could, if I wanted to, think, that is so precious. I don't want to get rid of this. But I am saying this week goodbye to my crib that I've had for 6 years. And we're giving it to another family who needs it. It's interesting, the things that we have. It was a week ago when I was playing in my office. Well, let me rephrase that. That sounds worse than it is. I was in my office working when my kids came in to my office. It was just an ordinary day until, have you ever tried to work with four kids running around you in a confined space? It just doesn't, I'm sitting there, and as they come in, one of them thankfully has a phone, so they're sitting down playing video games on the couch. The rest of them, they're running around, one of them's running in circles around the table. I don't know why that's happening, but we're just running around in circles around the table. Another one walks over and just says, hey, can I jump on this? Can I draw on this over here? Hey, what's this? One just starts going through the drawers, just pulling them all open, and one's grabbing stuff off the bookshelf. Just it's like a tornado just happened, and there's explosion happens. Everything's going off all over the place. And eventually they calm down, and I pull out a football. I happen to have one of these in my office just in case of these emergencies like this, and I begin to play catch with one of my kids. So I'm tossing it, and they're catching it, and I'm tossing it, and they're catching it, and in walks the youngest kid. Now, he had some things that he was playing with. He had a couple toys that he had in his hands. He had a figurine, something like this that he had, and something like this right here. I don't know if you've seen these guys, but they make noise. See if I can get him to... It's a minion. There you go. These little guys, and he's holding them in his hands, and he says, I want to play football. I want to play football. It runs up to me. So I toss him the football, and he catches it. And then he's trying to throw it back to me, and I realize something. As he's trying to throw it back to me, he's holding onto these toys in his hands, and he's trying to figure out how he can hold the football with the toys in his hands as he's sitting here, and he's trying to, I'm like, you got to throw it with one hand, buddy. You got to balance it over here. And this is what he looks like, and I realize something that's really important. In order to grow, you have to let go. You see, he could never throw the ball until he gets the toys out of his hands. You have to decide to let go if you want to go to a new place. You have to say goodbye to something in order to bring new life to something. As much as he tried, he could never play football or play catch with me like he really wanted to in that moment until he decided to let go of what was in his hands. The sad thing is that you and I often live as toddlers, living life with our hands full. We don't like to say goodbye. And sometimes what we have or what we used to have keeps us from moving forward. And we hold on to what's in our hands and we miss out. Sometimes on the blessing that God really wants to bring to your life. We hold on for dear life to things that really don't serve us very well. Sometimes we hold on to past mistakes and we define who we are based off of something that happened years ago. Sometimes we hold on to anger and resentment because they hurt me. And it doesn't lead you to any good place now, but we hold on. Sometimes we hold on to the privilege of being right, to prove our way. Sometimes we hold on to material things that really have little value. And sadly, often we put our attachment to possessions above the things that matter the most. We fight for more money and ignore the people that we hurt. We fight for more stuff or to keep our stuff. And as a result, we don't get to help people who are hurting and broken. So today, let's look at what we can do when it's time to say goodbye. I'm going to give you two steps, and then we're going to look at a couple things that the Bible says about this and where this comes from. Two steps. One of them is not in your notes, so you're going to have to write it down wherever you want. Pick a place and you can write it down. The first thing is to accept where you are. Now, I realize that the span of things that we have to say goodbye to goes from something that's very trivial to something that's the core of who we are. It ranges greatly. However, sometimes the hardest part of saying goodbye is accepting where you are right now. Sometimes we get in our head that we're not supposed to feel a certain way, or think a certain way, or be a certain way. And because of that, we tell ourselves, well, I'm not, when you really are. So if you're angry, be angry. If you're sad, be sad. Feel what you really feel. Accept where you are. You can never go anywhere until you admit where you are. If I believe right now that I am in Atlanta and I want to go to Orlando, I will go the wrong direction. You can never get where you want to get until you accept where you are. Feelings are feelings. They're not right or wrong. Feel what you feel and confront the brutal facts about where you really are. Don't play games. Don't say that it's something that it's not. Accept where you really are. First thing, in Matthew 4:18, Jesus begins to call the disciples. He is walking along the shore, and he walks by two guys. As he's walking along, he sees two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew. And they were throwing their net into the water because they fished for a living. The disciples were fishermen. That's what they were. They were nothing different but simple fishermen. One of the reasons that I believe the Bible is because if you look at it, the people who wrote it didn't make themselves look good. I mean, if I'm writing the Bible, I'm not going to say that I was just a lowly fisherman. I was an educated, smart person who was so great, and that's why Jesus walked by and called me, right? But that's not where these guys were. They were simply fishermen. Uneducated fishermen. Accept where you are. Second thing when it's time to say goodbye. Decide what you want most. What is it that you really want? All of life is actually a trade-off. You can't. Do you really want healthy relationships, or do you want to be right? Do you want to be close to your parents, or do you want to be angry? Where do you really want to be? One of the ways that I think this gets us the most in our lives is with sin. Do you really want to honor God? Or do you want to keep doing the thing that he said not to do? What do you really want? Do you want to move forward, or do you want to stay where you are? It's very quiet, very quiet. In the most difficult situations in life, when everything changes, when you lose somebody close to you, what do you want the most? And I can't answer this for you. I can't tell you what the answer to this is, but do you want to honor them? Do you want to be sad for a long time? Do you want to be happy again? You choose. What do you want the most? in that verse we're talking about, Matthew 4:19, the disciples, as he calls them, it says this, Jesus called out to them, come and follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once, and they followed him. They left their nets, everything they knew, at once to follow him. What do you really want? What do you want the most in life? What is it that if you could choose, this is the thing that I really want? And as we're saying goodbye to things, you have to know what's most important in order to know what you need to let go of. Because if not, we end up looking like monkeys. I've got a little video here to share with you. If you want to look there, up on the screens, there happens to be a trap that people in Africa use to catch monkeys. They go to a termite mound, find a stick, put some nuts in it, and drill a little hole and put some nuts inside of a cavern. And what happens is the monkey will begin to reach inside, and he will grab a hold of something. And because he's holding onto that thing, he can't let go, and he gets caught. If you want to choose what to say goodbye to, you have to know what's most important. Because you have to let go if you want to grow. You have to let go if you're going to move to the place that you really want to be. If you really want to move forward, you have to choose to let go, or you get trapped holding something that's not very important. You get trapped holding something that you really don't want instead of the thing that you want the most. Accept where you are and decide what you want the most. So let's look at why this is true. Let's look at what the Bible says about this. Why does it say that this is true? In life, you can't hold it all. You can never have everything. There are too many options for you to choose all of them. In fact, if you walk through the grocery store, you can say that's true with toothpaste. You just look at the toothpaste. There's too many things there for you to be able to choose. Life produces too much life. There is so much knowledge that you can't know it all. So you have to choose, what do you really want? And you have to say goodbye to some of the other things. You can't hold it all. Jesus outlines this when he says in Luke 17:33, if you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you let your life go, you will save it. If you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you let your life go, you'll save it. You can't hold it all. There are too many options for you to be able to hold on to everything. You can't change it all. You and I, no matter how much we want to be, we're not in control. No matter how much we wish that we could keep everything the way that we want them, I wish that I could keep my kids sometimes as babies, except for not sometimes, but I wish that sometimes we could keep them right where they are. I wish that I could keep things from changing and moving forward, but I don't get that option. There is no chance for that to ever happen. And you and I often fight to keep things the same, and we miss where God wants us to go. Jesus' ministry continues with his disciples. He gets to the point where he's in Jerusalem. And he has a friend who dies named Lazarus. And Jesus goes over to the tomb where he died and raises him from the dead. All the people are going crazy about this. Look at this guy. He just raised somebody from the dead. He's a crazy prophet. Look at what he's done. It's amazing. But there's a group of people who get really ticked off about this. You see, the people are saying, this is the Messiah. It's the one we've been waiting for. But the group of people whose job it was to look for the Messiah, who were the record keepers of all the prophecies about the Messiah, they were so concerned with keeping things the way that they are that they missed the very thing that they were looking for. In John 11:48, we have their discussion. If we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him. I want you to notice there, they don't even discuss whether or not he's the Messiah. They don't even look and think, you know what, maybe this is the Messiah. Instead, if we let him go on, and then they begin to think about all the bad things that might happen, then Rome will come and destroy both them and our nation. And this is the reason why they decided to kill Jesus. Because they wanted to protect what they had. They missed out on what God really wanted to do. When we try to control it all and keep it all inside of our grasp, we miss out on what God really wants to do. One of Jesus' talks, he's talking to the people. They ask him a question about why he is different than John. Why is your gospel different? And he gives this answer. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. For the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say. This is why the people, the Pharisees, missed Jesus. What I had was better than what could be. I'm trying to control things because I know this and I'm familiar with this and I have to keep it this way. And while holding all of our stuff over here, we miss out on what God really wants to do. You can't have it all. You can't control it all. And you can't stop it all. Time is going to keep on moving. Proverbs 16:9 says this, we can't make our plans, or we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. James 4:14 says it this way, how do you know what life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like a fog. It's here for a little while and then it's gone. No matter what we do, you and I, no matter how tight we hold on, this life, where we are right now, this life, this earth, the things that are here, don't last forever. The things that are here that we love, the stuff that we have in our houses, the things that we have, the relationships, here, this earth, things don't last forever. And no matter what you do, you can't stop it. I won't be here forever. None of us will be. Because we were not made for this life. We were not made for this stuff that we hold so tightly to. In order to grow, to move on, you have to let go. And if you don't, you just stay trapped. Trapped by the past. Trapped by what happened before. When God wants to do something new in your life, you can miss it like the Pharisees did if you don't say goodbye to the old. We usually make very poor trade-offs. We trade our freedom for what is common and ordinary. We trade what's really valuable. We trade eternity for things here that don't matter very much. Once you've accepted where you are and you decide what you want most, here's the really important thing. Don't trade what you want most for what you want now. Don't trade what you want most for what you want now. Unfortunately, most of the traps that we get ourselves into in life, it's because of this. Well, I really want them to pay. But do you want that or do you want a relationship? Well, I really want to be right. Or do you want to be close? Well, I really want what I had, but it's gone. We hold on to things that don't serve us very well. Our past mistakes. The privilege of being right, and we don't let go of anger, and we become attached to material things. But what do you want most? And will you decide to not trade it for anything? Because we don't have to live like toddlers. We don't have to live with our hand trapped in the cookie jar. We can live the way that God wants us to live. So three questions, because most of this stuff, there's a lot of things in life, and a lot of this, it's not about a sin or not sin. Some of it is, but most of the time, it's just making decisions. So I want to give you some advice about that. Three questions. Are you holding what is best or what is comfortable? Are you holding on to what is best or what is comfortable? What change are you resisting? And do you trust that God is in control? Do you trust that God is in control? You and I don't control it, but He does. All of our life, we have to say goodbye. Are you willing to let go so that you can grow? Are you willing to let go of what you have now for what is best? Are you willing to let go of what you had for what is the best? Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.